gone well to some extent, but unfortunately not completely. This is true that the propositions that we make sometimes are related to what we believe to be there, what is or is not, and some about what should or should not, or what ought or ought not. This is true. But in the end of day, all must go back to the same root and same foundation. We don't believe that we have two reasons or two intellects or two aqls. One aql related to the theoretical ideas, the other to the practical matters. No. There is only one single aql or reason or intellect that we have. And there is only one set of self-evident propositions. All practical, all ethical or legal propositions directly or indirectly must go back to those foundations, which are the same as the foundations for our theoretical propositions. So when I say justice is good, this must be based on something. For example, this must be based on my understanding of humanity and what is good for humanity and the relation between justice and what is good for humanity. So this can be argued for, this can be proved, this can be demonstrated. It's not just arbitrary, it's not just a matter of taste or opinion that someone says justice is good, then someone else may come and say, I don't feel that justice is good. No. This is something which is based on arguments, on demonstrations, on burhan. And inshallah we will talk about it a little bit today. The other problem with this view is that they don't try to show why something which has become self-evident must be true. If you remember, we said before that there are some people like Descartes who say that there are some innate ideas and this must be true. Of course, Descartes was himself aware that this is not enough, this is not sufficient. Then he wanted to use the belief in God, the merciful, to protect these innate ideas from being illusions, from being mistaken. And we said that that would be circular, because to prove the existence of God, we need first to accept these self-evident propositions. And if we prove these self-evident propositions by believing God, this will be circular. But anyway, this was some idea. Some people had the idea that because these are fitri, these are innate, these are given by our Creator, so these must be true. And we said no, because we need further explanation for this. Because some people may say, okay, if you say that this is true because I am created in the way that I understand this, so someone may come and say there are other creatures who are created in the way that they understand in another way. Or they may say that it was possible for your Creator to make you in a different way so that you could have another understanding. So if you say justice is good, it's not really good. It's because you are created in the way that you think justice is good. And your Creator could have created you in another way. So this makes it very loose and very baseless. So we need that there must be further explanation for this. We cannot just say these are evident, these are obvious, these are innate. So what is our solution? The author says that we believe that ethical and legal propositions, which are all related to our voluntary actions, something which is not voluntary is not based on free will, which is not done through our own decision is not discussed, is not studied in ethics or law. For example, my blood circulation. This is not something related to my akhlaq, to my morality, because it's not in my hand. This is something which is being done, and I have no role in that. In akhlaq, in morality, and in law, we are concerned with voluntary actions. Okay? These voluntary actions are done, are performed, are practiced for why? For what? They have been performed because we feel that they serve our aims, our ideals. So every human being has certain aims, and he performs his or her acts because he or she thinks that these acts can serve those aims. We may make mistake, we may do something which may be harmful, but this does not change the fact that we think that this is good for us and we do it. It may be in reality harmful, but whenever we say something is good, we mean that we think this is good to reach our aims. Okay? The aims may be different. We believe that the ultimate end, the ultimate ideal, is approximation to God, the Almighty. Is to get close to God as much as possible. Is at-taqarrubu ila Allah. This is the best thing that we can think of. And all other aims that we have must finally lead to that. If I, for example, work, if I study, if I, for example, go to journeys, if I attend lectures or deliver lectures or write books or read books, all these activities must serve my ideal, and that is to get close to God. Some people may have other ideals. Some people may have, for example, well-being as their ideal. May have, for example, happiness or pleasure in this world, in the material life, as their ideals. But whether this is an ideal, a real ideal or not, is something which is possible to be studied. If we know human being, if we know the potentialities that are put in our nature, if we know the extent to which we can make progress, if we know that our being is not just restricted to the physical body that we have, to the physical needs that we have, then it would be easy to understand what would be appropriate ideal for us. And this is something that we discuss in Islamic ethics. But what I am trying to say here is that whenever you have some ideal, we don't discuss about that ideal that much here, but when you have something as your ideal, all your ethical system is to serve you to reach that ideal. There may be a hierarchy, different levels of aims and objectives, but above all, in the top, is your ultimate end, which is, for example, for us, approximation to God the Almighty. And then there are lower degrees of aims and objectives. For example, I go to primary school because I want to learn something, and then I want to go to intermediate school, and then to high school, then, for example, to seminary or to university, to college, and so on and so forth. But in the end, if you ask me why that, the last answer that I can give you is that because this will help me to serve God, and this helped me to reach God, to get closer to God, the Almighty. So if you want to see that when I say telling truth is good, is true or false, the way to check this is to see whether this really serves my ideals or not, my aims and objectives or not. So telling truth is good means this is helpful in reaching my ideals. And telling false is bad or wrong means that this is harmful. Justice is good means this is useful, this is necessary for getting close to my ideals. Oppression is bad means that this is harmful. Okay? So there is always a way to check whether this is true or false. There is a very important discussion here about the nature of this concept of ought and ought not, or good or bad, or right or wrong. We had some discussions before, again brief discussions, and I will have a brief discussion again here, but this is discussed in more details in some books, and in English, in the book Ethical Relativism, in the last chapter, I have studied this question to further details, but not again in a very much detailed way. When we say telling truth is good, or you ought to tell truth, this goodness or ought is an expression of a relation between a cause and an effect. This act, this quality, like for example telling truth as an act or justice as a quality, are causes for our ideal, the ultimate ideal or some lower ideals or aims. So this cause serves that ideal or aim, which is an effect. If you want that effect, you must bring this cause. So when I say that you ought to tell truth, this ought is an expression of a relation between a cause and an effect. And you know that whenever you want a cause, you must, if you want a, sorry, you want an effect, you must bring the cause. If you want heat, if you want light, you must bring the causes. If you want heat, you must bring heater. If you want light, you must have electricity and you must have light. If you want, for example, greenery, you must seed, you must have seeds and plant the seeds in the soil, you must water, you must have light, and then you can have greenery. Okay? So when I say this act is good or necessary, or you must do it, you ought to do it, you should do it, this means, this is referring, this is indicating a relation between this act and its outcome or its effect. If you understand the effect, then your mind says, okay, there must be its cause already there. If there is light here, so there must be electricity here. If I say, for example, if you want light, you ought to have electricity. This is exactly like saying you ought to be just. It means that if you want your aims, if you want to get close to God, if you want to have social welfare, if you want to have a stable society in which people can be free to take care of their spirituality, you must have justice. So this is a sort of necessity which we understand by looking at the effect or at the outcome. So the effect never necessitates the cause in reality. It's always cause who is bringing the effect. But the effect may help us to understand that the cause is already there. So when I see heat is here, light is here, I say there must be electricity here, or there must be a heater here. So this necessity, which we understand by considering the effect, is called al-zarura bil-qiyas, relative necessity. This is different from necessity which is given by a cause to its effect. That is necessity by the other, al-zarura bil-ghayr. That's something else. Here is a necessity which is in the context of understanding. When I see the effect, or when I consider the effect, then I say, okay, that cause must be there. You bring that cause necessarily. Okay? So, all legal and ethical statements, whether they are put in a descriptive way or in a prescriptive way, whether you say telling truth is good, or you say you must tell truth, or you say tell truth, it makes no difference. All are going back to a relation, a real relation that exists between that act or quality and your ideals. If you are informing in a proper way, so that statements are true or based on truth. If they are descriptive, they can be true. If they are prescriptive, they don't admit truth or falsity, but they can be based on true ideas or false ideas, implicitly, indirectly. And if you say, for example, oppression is good, breaking your promises is good, so this is a wrong understanding of relation between these two, operation and breaking your promises and your ideals. So this is false. So this is the idea of the author, which is very good and very clear, very acceptable, about the moral and legal statements. Some people may say that Muslim philosophers like Ibn Sina or Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi have said that statements like telling truth is good are not self-evident statements, and therefore they cannot be used in demonstration, in Burhan. They are just something which are well known, and they can be used in Jadal, in our arguments with others. The author says that this is not against what we said. This does not contradict what we said. When you say telling truth is good, if you say it in a very general and rough way, this is not self-evident, and this is something which we cannot use it in Burhan. And Ibn Sina and Nasiruddin Tusi are right, because these sentences usually have very, very specific details. If you say just telling truth is good, and you do not observe the exceptions and the details, so this is not something which is 100% acceptable. Sometimes telling truth is bad. If you tell truth and endanger life of an innocent person, this is not good. If you tell lies to save life of an innocent person, that is good. So those people like Ibn Sina and Nasiruddin Tusi, they meant that when you say, when you express these ethical statements without their details, and you express them roughly, so they are not good, appropriate for al-Burhan, for philosophical demonstration. This is something very easy. The last point is about relativity, or the penultimate point is about the relativity. Some people have thought that because people have different ideas about moral values or legal norms, so there is no single moral system. And people may have different ideas which are as true as ideas of others. I say modesty is good, someone else may say modesty is bad, and we may both be right. This is the idea of relativity, and this is the idea which is not acceptable. And in my book Ethical Relativism, I have discussed this in several chapters. All book is based on this idea. Here, very shortly, we can just say that when people make different judgments, when people disagree, when people don't know the reality, this does not mean that the reality is not there. This does not mean that there is no single truth. People may make different judgments. People may make some mistakes. People may know or may not know. But there is a real relation between our acts and qualities on the one hand, and what is good for us, what can be an ideal for us, on the other hand. This relation can be discovered. We may make mistakes, especially when it becomes very complicated, especially when there are two different values conflicting. For example, we must obey our parents. This is one value. At the same time, for example, we must, for example, protect our country when our country is attacked. And my mother may not be happy if I, for example, go to defend my country. This is example which Bertrand Russell was saying. So what should I do? People may have different judgments because they believe in these values, but they don't know when it becomes very complicated. Some say this is prior, some say that is prior. There are different things that may lead to different judgments, and I have tried to count them all in the book Ethical Relativism. Here, just I want to say that it's not possible to argue for the absence of truth or single truth from the existence of disagreements. No, this is not the way. People may have disagreements about even experimental sciences, about mathematical questions. The last point is about the difference between ethical propositions and legal propositions. The author says that this is a very important issue and must be studied in ethical philosophy, moral philosophy, and in philosophy of law. But he says that we very briefly refer to what we take to be the most important difference. Morality is to help us to reach happiness, the ultimate happiness, which we take to be the approximation to God. And that is the final flourishment of human being. Legal system is to help us to have a stable social life, to solve the conflicts of interest. So morality and law have different ideals. Sometimes they may overlap. Some act may be ethical and moral at the same time. For example, if we have a good legal system in our country, so it must endorse some norms which are also ethically acceptable. So if I observe those norms, those laws, good intention, I have observed the law and at the same time I have committed a moral act. Of course, for morality, we always need good intention. Because if I do something which is apparently good, but my intention is bad, or because I am forced to do it, so this is not morally good. So, ethics is concerned with something, and law is concerned with something else, but they may overlap. So we may have something which is endorsed, which is prescribed in both our ethical legal system. But there are also other different, inshallah, you can study them in the books related to philosophy of law or moral philosophy. And you should know that there is no limit in morality. In law, we have many limits. In law, we usually are satisfied with minimum requirements because we cannot expect more than that from people. In law, we ask people not to their own or to other people. So even if they themselves are in need, they should give priority to their brothers and sisters. We are not only social life, we are also concerned with the personal life. In your most private moments of your life, you still must be ethical and moral. In ethics, you do not need social sanction. You do not need these or courts and prisons and so on and so forth. So these are owed to other people. So even if they themselves are in need, they should give priority to their brothers and sisters. In ethics, we are not only concerned with the social life, we are also concerned with the in your most private moments of your life, you still must be ethical and moral. In ethics, you do not need social sanction. You do not need these and prisons and so on and so forth. So these are things that you can study your prisons and so on and so forth. So these are